Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Soapbox Witch with Onyx. You had a choice and you chose to spend your time here. Thank you for joining me on this magical journey of thought seed farming and music.
Good evening, everybody. This is Reverend Onyx. I am Chief Priest here at Lady of the Circle on the Oaks in Thomasville, North Carolina. I want to thank you for joining me tonight on the Soapbox Witch. And I want to say that I know that you had a choice to spend your time, something that once we spend it, we can't get it back. And you chose to spend this time with me. And for that, I'm grateful. We broadcast, this show broadcasts every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. You can catch us live here at talkradio.com/CERN. You can catch us live on the iTunes, on iTunes as a podcast, and after the show, after it takes a few hours for it to load over. Well, you can't catch us live, excuse me, on the TuneIn Radio app. You can catch us live if you log into the TuneIn Radio app, either on the iDevices or on the Android devices, and you look for Spiritual Unity Radio Network. If there's a show playing, at the time that you log in, you'll be able to hear it. All the other shows are archived there, so you can go there and archive shows. iTunes, like I said, has the archive shows as well. On the links that are posted on Facebook throughout the different groups, that you can click the play on that, and you can hear the show as well. But the best way, in my opinion, is to come on over to blogtalkradio.com/CERN and join in the chat room, because we have a live chat going on at the same time. And even though I'm notorious for watching the chat while I'm talking, it's just one of those walk and chew chewing gum at the same time things for me. I do go back during our breaks and look to see what's been said. And I try to engage any questions that are there. Another thing is if you have a specific question, remember that the chat room scrolls, and I can't go all the way back on the chat room. So if you've got a very specific question that you'd like to ask me during an episode, just send a private message to CERN Host if you're in the chat room. You can do that by double-clicking on CERN Host. It will bring up a private message box, and you can send it to me. That does not go away until I clear it. If you are not around a computer, or if you're having trouble getting Blog Radio to work properly for you, if you're in the chat room and you're not hearing the sound, and you're having a problem, if you're around a phone, you can call into the deck, and if you dial area code 646-564-9614, you can hear the entire show on the phone as well. Now, if ever I'm taking calls on the show, that's also the number that you would dial to come on live with me. So tonight, we're going to be talking about, we're going to be talking afterlives. Now, my intent tonight is not to bring you around to any specific, you know, belief structure, belief about the afterlife. So we'll talk about what and how we come about but our beliefs of the afterlife. I have my very beliefs, and I'm sure you do too. I'm not here to challenge yours to tell you that you're wrong. Well, let me put it like this. I'm not here to challenge you to say that yours is wrong, but I will challenge you to understand where it comes from. To me, it's as much important, if not more important, than having a firm belief. It's just as important, if not more important, to know why you believe that. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So I've chosen the topic of afterlives because it's something that's near and dear to every person and every faith group. So I'm going to discuss how Wicca, as a faith group, interprets the concept of the afterlife, how it's achieved, if at all, and how we deal with many different contrasting ideas on the afterlife. When we're dealing with the afterlife, one of the several things that makes our faith group different from other religions is a focus away from the afterlife. The idea of what happens after we die is something that every Wiccan is left to assess on their own, with their own experiences and their own theories. We don't say that we cannot know the afterlife, but in general, we teach that it is not something that can be taught. What happens to us after we die is sometimes referred to as the great mystery. Now, this is a huge difference from religions, which tell you that if you do A, you will get B. A being some factor of the faith, and B being the promised afterlife. Now, those who are stuck in this sort of logic equation of faith, there are three distinct paths when they encounter Wicca that they can follow, as far as I see. First, they can change their beliefs regarding how religions and the afterlife are supposed to work. Or two, they can find a tradition of Wicca that promises them an afterlife in the manner in which they believe in. Or three, they can just give up on Wicca completely and go somewhere else. Now, there are branches, traditions, covens that will tell a very specific afterlife. But most are not really that clear on the idea. It's kind of fuzzy. Usually, and I know I'm talking broad brush here, but with all the different multiplicities that we have in our faith group, that's the only thing we can. Usually, they either recognize the afterlife as something to be attained through the completion of a mystery, or they recognize it as some sort of great unknown, or religions with this type of focus away from death are sometimes called life-affirming or life-centered. Broad brush statement here again, we as a faith group are simply not very concerned with death. Now, this might be, at least in part, because we learn our religion both from the elders of the faith and by watching the world around us. We see things die and things be born. So obviously, while death may be the end of us as individuals, it's not the end of the world. The world will continue without us. We are more concerned with the present than the near future. All this is broad brush. We are also concerned with leaving the world a good place for our descendants. Now, this focus on life instead of death can be confusing, obviously, to those who have a religious paradigm that focuses on this world as being nothing more than like a waiting room for the real later. These two paradigms are in one. Grace can only be achieved and reborn in the next life. And this one is seen as base, as cruel, as bitter, and horrible. In the other paradigm is the afterlife that is seen as unimportant right now. And the current life is a blank slate that can be written on as you choose. So you can choose to stay or later. Wicca, as a general rule, is focused on what is happening now instead of what is happening in the heavens or in the far future. A very common belief in Wicca is reincarnation. Now, reincarnation is the belief that the energy, spirit, soul, whatever term you want to use, destroyed or changed beyond recognition. These souls move on to another body and are reincarnated within that body. The Wiccan concept of reincarnation usually looks more similar to the process in theosophy called of souls, any of the concepts of reincarnation in the Eastern religions. But the idea of reincarnation fitting into Wicca makes sense. In a way, it's a reflection of the axiom as above, so below. Think about this for a minute. The apple that falls to earth dies. But from it, an apple tree sprouts and yields another tree, apple. And that apple falls. Wash, rinse, and repeat. So on throughout time. Strict reincarnationists sees that apple as literally the same apple each time it falls, going from life to life. The more liberal creationist sees a less direct route of passing down taking place. And this is the rub. This is the divide between the types of reincarnations. Either we move literally from one life into the other with reserved soul, or our energy is distributed in less direct ways, dispersed into the world at large, or separated into little bitty bits and pieces throughout the universe. At first, these ideas might seem very similar, but they are very different, and they're irreconcilable. If we do not move through the world with a preserved soul, the idea of transmigration becomes impossible. While a fragmented past life memory is possible in the shared energy paradigm that we talked about just a moment ago, to have a full memory, previous life, or even the concept of karmic debt, or moving through a circle of growth, we need to believe that a bulk of energy, or at least enough of it to have a cohesive set of goals and experiences, stays together. This difference between the two camps of reincarnationists has been the cause of some very harsh conversations between the people who support the two different concepts. In one, the past life has a very strong effect on the present life. And think about this, at its most extreme, this ship is most of the things that happen to us in this life being a result of a past life. And if this was true, this would eliminate the concept of free will completely. Because it happened to us because we set it up that way by our actions in the past. Anything more than a vague regression, fragments of memory that don't make much sense in the grand scheme of things, must be nothing more than one's imagination. In both, the concept that speaking with the ghosts or that souls can remain around after death, or even that ancestors which stick around watching out for their kin, is completely antithetical to their view of the afterlife. Think about it. If we move on, then by logical definition, we can't stay put. It's difficult to understand how reincarnation and spiritualism can exist in the same paradigm. Because unless you reduce ghosts to something that could not get closure anyway, you can't say they wanted this plane looking for the answers they didn't get in the past life, right? If they're just echoes of reality, then the idea that they can be helped to prevail into their proper afterlife becomes impossible. So the extremes are irreconcilable. But Hermes says all paradoxes are reconcilable. All opposites are reconcilable. Now, in Wicca, this is what I see. We use reincarnationist language. As spiritualists, we talk about the other side and our ancestors, but we also talk of moving on. We have reincarnation, but we also have the sun or other paradises, Tirnanog, the Golden West, all this stuff. Now, moving on to different types of reincarnation, I want to bring this up. There's a form of reincarnation, called non-linear reincarnation. And to me, this seems to be the only form that can bring these paradoxes together. The idea is that the soul incorporates a point in time that is useful to that soul, even reincarnating at the same point in time, at different points along the cycle, and in different bodies. A little confusing? That's me, okay? If being born in 1652 was the only way for you to learn a certain lesson, you might be born in 1652 in more than one body, each time getting a chance to get it right. So Joe Smith, who was born in 1932, might be reincarnated next in 1652, and next in 72, and then in 1932 again, but this time as Mary Thomas. Non-linear reincarnation solves many paradoxes. Now, it implies that those persons with a fantasy are actually remembering lives that they had in the past. Take, for example, let's say Mary Thomas about might have very strong memories of the World Trade Center collapsing. Though in this incarnation, she's born in 1932 and died in 1978. Because last time, she was born in 1972 and died in 2030. She is remembering the future. her visions of her past life in her past in the grand scheme of things. But still in the future, in the linear march of time that we in addition to solving the apparent paradox of those who seem to be in the future, nonlinear reincarnation also seems to solve the paradox of those who seem pressed to remember the past. A person who claims to have a past life memory of an Avalon, one like in Myths of Avalon, might not be having a regression that is nothing more than a fantasy-filled trip through the imagination, but instead remembering a future in which someone has created an Avalon. Personally, I'm just uncomfortable saying that memories of the past that share no similarity to the past, our memories of the future, especially when the past is identical to a fantasy novel or three. Now, nonlinear reincarnation also destroys the concept that population density has influenced reincarnation. In nonlinear reincarnation, since people can incarnate in different bodies in the same time stream, the same number of souls can occupy a large population, the same as a small population. And the supporters of this kind of theory have a built-in excuse for the people who claim reincarnation must be false because more than one person is the same thing. All part of the plan. Related to non-linear reincarnation is familial reincarnation. This is the belief that members of a family reincarnate within that same family. Some forms of familial reincarnation not only include non-linear reincarnation, but also make a point of it. A person can be the reincarnation of his grandmother before his grandmother passed on. But it's more common to find what could be small group incarnation than true non-linear reincarnation in familiar groups. Now, this is a teaching that some small groups of animals reincarnate within the family constantly, serving as guides, while the rest of the family are new souls. Other supporters of familial reincarnation believe not that the ancestors are reincarnating within the family, but that the knowledge of them is reincarnating through a sort of ancestor memory. Now, this is not the same as remembering the knowledge of the birth mother, which is a claim of a completely different set of people. People who have ancestral memory genuinely believe the memories are complete, even if not completely remembered. Here's another example. Even if your grandmother has your mother at age 22, the actual memory of your grandmother working deep within to contain all the skills that existed up to her death, regardless of how long after your mother's death that was. This is why ancestral memory beliefs work more like reincarnation than something transmitted organically. Is as the ancestors die, their memories and beliefs somehow incorporate people living and stick around, accessible by specific training. This is a branch of the partial reincarnation that the energies are shared and distributed instead of moving into a hole. I'm going to take a little break here. We're going to sing a little song. Well, I'm not going to sing. We can thank God for that. But, and after that song, I'm going to do a little peace prayer like we always do on every show. And then we're going to do a little station business. And then after that, we'll come back and we're going to talk about things like summer life and personal gnosis and all that stuff. This is Darv the Bard, Isis Unveiled. Thank you for sticking around. I'll be back to you on the other side.
Game, create the time with every move and line. Jackal guard against the moon, and the game will be over soon. Can you hear the earth sighing as he turns towards the sky? The time of Ra is ending, and the sun begins to die. Her in the night, can you feel it changing? Sky and earth, they are as one. Daughter and son, sister, lover, goddess, queen, mother to every living being. Your light creates a shadow as you show your face unveiled. Your brother said betrays you, there's a coffin on the Nile. Can you feel it changing? Can you see her in the night? Can you feel it changing? Pieces to the wind, to all parts of the land, scattered widely she will find, and form a lover from her hands. The sky, her tears of gladness, fall to the fertile ground, and set lost in his madness, to the desert he is bound. Feel it changing. Can you see her in the night? Can you feel it changing?
there is one power in the universe, and I am a perfect manifestation of that power. And as such, I pray for peace. I pray for love. I pray for stability. I pray for the nation where I live. I pray for the world. By my will, so mote it be, and it is so. You are listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
And I'm back.
Run, run, run away.
Thank you all for sticking around with me. And I, like I said, I really, really appreciate you hanging in here with me. We're talking about afterlives tonight. And we talked about some of the things, you know, very strict reincarnationists, liberal reincarnationists. We talked about transmigration of souls and how the Wiccan thought, generally the Wiccan thought of reincarnation, is not the same as experienced in the Eastern world, in Eastern worlds. When we realize Wicca is not focused on the afterlife, it is focused on the here and now, we realize that we're talking about the afterlife, and it's something that we cannot know, at least now, we realize that when we're talking about the afterlife, which is not much higher than mental masturbation. So, boy, I'd like to continue on with our topic. I think we've got quite a lot of ground to cover yet. So, you know, everybody knows about the Summerland. Let's talk about the Summerland for a while. Summerland and reincarnation. And taken as a whole, the Summerland, as it's interpreted generally in Wicca, and I have to keep using these qualifiers because there again, remember that in Wicca we have a huge multiplicity of beliefs. But taken as a whole, the Summerland, as we interpret it in Wicca, is completely different from the concept of the land of milk and honey that existed at the beginning of time and which people of exceptional goodness can return to. It is simultaneously a place of rebirth
and a place of stagnation in the view of a lot of people. And as most conceive of it, it is quite different from the indigenous European beliefs that we sometimes see it survived within. Now, the Wiccan Summerland is usually conceived as a place of rest between lives. Lives that are lessons. Stops at the transmigration. So we can argue all day long about what is a lesson and what is the reason for the lessons. But that's another topic for another day. We'll get into that one. But think about this now. So if we're working toward whatever you want to call it, Gypsy used to call it ascension to the one, there, the movement up through the seven planes, whatever euphemism you want to use. If that's our goal, if our goal is to ascension to the one, whatever euphemism you want, if our goal is reuniting with the divine, when we realize or to realize that we are not separate from the divine in the first place, and we have all kinds of learned texts and illuminated texts that point from several different religious traditions, not just pagan. I can point to the Bible to tell us that God is within at all times. I can point to places in Wiccan liturgy that tell us the same thing. But we won't go there tonight. We'll do that another day. Think about it. If that's our end goal, then if you stay in Summerland, you're avoiding going forward with lessons. So, but be that as it may, this is very different from the original concept of special afterlife for heroes and those who died living up to specific virtues. This is a cultural idea that's seen in the Abrahamic beliefs as well as in most European ones. The idea that if you do good in this life, and you will be rewarded in the next. I'm talking about heaven, all these certain odd things. Easy to see, does not always work with Wicca. Again, as a generality, tends to believe that what you do in this life is rewarded or punished. This reason that many Wiccans don't believe in hell, but a lot of them still believe in a heaven, that name, but in that token. Now, from a purely psychological perspective, I understand this, okay? Because most Wiccans are ex-Christian. And it's much easier to give up the bad parts of your religion while keeping the good parts. For those ex-Christians who are now Wiccan, this land is kind of like the promise of heaven without the threat of hell, right? Now, in Christianity, there are two basic schools of thought. We have universal, where no one goes to hell. And, of course, we have the general belief in both heaven and hell. To buy into the paradise of the non-universalistic Christianity while discounting the existence of its foil, which is, to me, kind of seems like buffet table spirituality. We seem to be saying, I'll take a little of this and a little of that, and the context of either one of them be damned. So, that's my thought, my humble opinion. Just a simple bit here. Now, a more palatable idea seems to be the idea of mystery-related afterlives. These are afterlives which are achieved or revealed through their participation in a mystery rite. These give you a specific thing in return for action. These mystery acts relate to reincarnation in a few ways. At the most extreme, any belief in them is considered contrary to reincarnation. And any belief in reincarnation is considered contrary to the belief in a mystery afterlife. Liberal on one side, reincarnation is the fate of those who fail to do X, Y, and Z. And at the most liberal on the other side, a mystery assures you a new incarnation. The Summerland, which is not a belief that all Wiccans share, is often up for interpretation between these groups. For some, is the end result of the cycle of reincarnation. For others, it's a place of incarnation. Generally, Wiccans cannot see such a subjective of a concept as the afterlife in anything but the most general terms. What some say, or what some see as a flaw in Wicca, might be one of its. Wicca does not rely on books, priests, to dictate what happens in the afterlife. Instead, it relies on something called unverified personal gnosis. Wiccans who have had near-death experience have experienced, some Wiccans who have had near-death experience have experienced the same phenomenon and imagery as Christians, only with the addition of goddess figures and beautiful gardens. Now, you can think what you want about these experiences. You can say they're a phenomenon of the brain gasping for air or a genuine visit to the afterlife. But one thing you cannot deny is that those who claim to have undergone such events have very strong feelings about them. We're going to move on from that, though. And for right now, we'll circle back around in a minute. In many discussions of unverified processes, you don't hear much about the issues communal or borrowed gnosis. It's almost completely avoided. You may not have even heard of this before, but let me explain it to you. Unverified personal gnosis creates a necessary double standard. You approach what you experience and what revelations you have differently than you approach the experiences and revelations of others. This is a perfectly understandable double standard. Choosing what gnosis to believe from others is completely subjective. For some, the only external gnosis they find acceptable gnosis that falls within their worldview. Now, I can agree with this on one condition. If you're accepting and dismissing things based on what matches your personal experience, this is fine. But if you're dismissing all experiences that don't conform to your worldview, regardless of your experience, I find that a little bit difficult to reconcile with an experience-based faith, which we claim to be. How can you expect your own experiences to be seen as valid by when you reject things that come from others for no particular reason whatsoever? Let me give you an example of that. You need that stuff. Take an imaginary person. Let's call him Bill. He's a former Christian. He's now Wiccan. He's trying to reconcile his former beliefs, so in an attempt to understand near-death experiences, Bill listens to three stories from different people. In the first story, a woman that he has never met charges him $200 to listen to how she died and found Jesus. In the second story, a woman he knows and who he also knows is concerned about his apparent loss tells him a similar story about dying and going to see Jesus. In the last story, a man that he has never met recounts a very similar event when he died, but only at Bill's prompting. So Bill asks, and Bill dismisses all three. Because it can't be true. It's not wicked. The flaw in Bill's thinking is that since Jesus appears in all three near-death experiences, and he doesn't believe in Jesus, that all three experiences are fake and dismissed for that same reason. But if he had thought about it, he probably should have dismissed the first two and accepted the last one. The first two, you can easily see them as a result of something other than an actual experience. One, potential lie for the sake of money. The second, a potential lie because of placed anxiety regarding Bill's faith. It might be true, but they are not compellingly true. The last, however, takes a leap of logic to just automatically dismiss it. He has no reason to believe this person is doing it for any other reason than telling the truth. There's no other motivation. There's no reason for any other motivation. Agreeing with him doesn't mean become Christian. It simply means that he concedes that this last believes what he was Jesus. Unless this belief is contrary to Bill's experience, which doesn't make a lot of sense, you should probably accept it. Seeing Jesus proves nothing. It could be a hallucination, wishful thinking, or quite simply how this particular man interprets phenomenon that we would interpret differently. All right, let's get a little silly here for a moment. Okay? Let's imagine that Bill conceives of the afterlife as a great purple room with magenta couches and a deep white plush carpet. Now, he dismissed the third man's view of the afterlife because it doesn't come on his own. But imagine he sees a formal speaker who tells of the exact thing he conceives of. Bill believes that speaker's revelation because it is communal gnosis. There's that word. It is more than a single individual's revelation about the afterlife. This goes very well with the idea that if a deity really wanted you to believe in something, you would. Now, okay, Bill, our good Lord, and he keeps a journal, just like his mentor tells him to. Now, in his 12 months as a this journal hasn't done a whole lot for him. But he does have a very powerful dream that he has had about the afterlife, about this afterlife. Purple room, magenta couches, white rug. Fine. Okay. Later, when he hears a near-death experience that's described exactly the same thing, Bill writes that down in his journal. He compares. And the fact that they're the same tells him more than either the dream or the story could, on their own, whatever reason, Bill has been primed by his dream experience to conceive of the afterlife in that way. He might choose to believe this is because it's God's wish, and for the afterlife in this way, or he might feel that this is a sign that he treat this last near-death experience, the one from the, with more respect than, Bill and the speaker have to share this afterlife vision. Might choose to believe other things, the speaker says. You follow me on this? Bill and the speaker have the same vision of the afterlife. Okay, first of all, Bill has a dream about the afterlife. That, at that point, is unverified personal message. Once he understands that the speaker has also had the same vision of the afterlife, the purple everlasting life. Once he hears that the speaker has had the same experience, then it becomes communal gnosis. Because it's no longer personal. But since they've got this borrowed, this communal that's going on, Bill might choose to believe other things the speaker has said. These other things that he believes because the person, the speaker, tells him he should. This is called borrowed information, beliefs, and revelations given to someone else that you believe for some reason. Borrowed gnosis is at the very core of the religions. When Moses comes down from the mountain, he carries the word of his God and gives it to his people. In the Greek Bible, Jesus never writes a gospel. It's all written from the point of view of other people. But borrowed gnosis gets less valid the further it gets from the source. By the fifth or sixth retelling, it's usually expected that the similarity to the original is completely gone. The Wiccan says he sees the image of the goddess on the full moon. By the time 60th or 70th hand version of the story gets around, now it's become Neil Armstrong is a Wiccan because he met the goddess on the moon. This is why borrowed gnosis is the most fallible and becomes less reliable as further from the source. Every person determines whether the information that he or she is receiving is reliable, exaggerated, or just plain wrong. Tends to steer away from borrowed gnosis and teach from communal gnosis while holding the personal gnosis is highly relevant to the individual. This three-tiered approach with the individual being important like this might be unique to Wicca in modern times. It was the modus operandi for most early religions. Think about it. Even the huge mega face of the Abrahamic pantheon can usually be traced to one person or group of people claiming to have received special knowledge of which they have tangible proof. It's borrowed gnosis and is by far the most fallible. So what I'd like to do is remind you, thank you for being here. And I'd like to remind you that I'm here every Wednesday night and every Saturday night and every Thursday night. We have a shared show. Terry and I do a shared show together. It's called Under a Shady Tree. If you have any questions, what we do is we take questions from listeners. And if there's anything that you would like for us to tackle in our own opinion, just let us know. You know, send us an email, surn.org@gmail.com. And we'll do our best to get it on the air and take a swing at it. We do not profess to have all the answers, but if you know Terry and me or Andrew, you'll know that we're both very opinionated. So that's sometimes good, sometimes bad. Sometimes we're on the same sheet of music. Sometimes we're coming out of opposite corners. I want you to think of what I said. I want you to think about what I've said. And if you can verify your own belief and understand where it comes from, that's great. That's what you do. If you cannot find out where it comes from, you'll understand why. Keep searching. And if your own belief, if your own personal gnosis changes, then that's good too. Because it's all about growth. It's all about change. It's all about evolving. That's what it's all about, people. Okay? I want to invite ever to LadyOfTheCircle.org to check out the website for Lady of the Circle and the Oaks. I'd also like to invite everybody over to InternationalPaganRadio.com. That is a live 24/7 streaming radio station, all pagan, all the time. We have a couple of shows that are on a week, but primarily we stream music. So come over and check us out, LadyOfTheCircle.org and InternationalPaganRadio.com. Remember, I don't care if you think like me. I just want you to think. I'll be back tomorrow night with Terry, and then again on Saturday. In all things, may you blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.